Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, on this Thursday before the Epiphany, we look at the feast of Saint Elizabeth Ann Seton. I know that many here in this country know her, but since people in a number of countries are listening to this program, Elizabeth Ann Seton suffered the death of her husband, William, when she was 29. Having encountered the Catholic faith while on holiday in Italy, she converted to the disappointment of her family. Her attempts to found a school in New York to support herself and her five children failed when the parents of her students discovered that she was Catholic. So she really experienced difficulty, loss of her husband, experienced prejudice against her as a Catholic. She had a very hard time, but she persevered. And after responding to the invitation to open a school in Baltimore, she founded the Sisters of Charity of St. Joseph to educate the poor and orphans. And she died in Emmitsburg, Maryland in 1821, and she is considered the patron of Catholic education in America. If you're concerned about the schools where your children are going, take a look around. See if there is a Catholic school in the area. That is good. Always needs to be tested. But what you want is for your children and your grandchildren to know the Lord and to see all that they're learning in light of who they are and where they're going. As I've said to you before, I spent many years in public school because there was no Catholic school in our area at all. And I got very good education from a group of sisters who did CCD work. So I really received good education, but the greater blessing that I got was being in public school all through grade school and through high school until I was a junior in high school. And it was just, I know that I've mentioned this before, but I want to say it on this great feast of Elizabeth Seton. There was such, we didn't use the word ecumenical then, but there was such a wonderful spirit in the little grade school where I went. In the morning, everybody, Protestant, Catholic, Jew, if you had a particular feast, especially for Catholics or Jews, permission was granted automatically. If you had any services to go to or whatever the case, that was just understood. There was no question about it. And every day, as I've said to you before, every day when school started in the day, if you were Catholic, you brought the, quote, Catholic Bible. Protestant, you brought the Protestant Bible. And if you were a Jew, you could bring some reading from the Torah that you felt was appropriate. And even when we were very little. And so we're exposed, seeing that everybody was worshiping God. And it was understood that we needed that as the foundation of our day. So we would read from the scriptures. We would pray the Lord's Prayer. And then we would move ahead, pledge allegiance to the flag, sing a patriotic song, and then we would begin the day. And there was no question about whether you're Protestant or you're a Jew. It was, we were all coming from different places, but we all loved God. And that's gone. That's gone. That fabric, that orientation is gone in public education. And sometimes, I must admit, it's only their token. In Catholic schools, I'm not saying any more than that. I'm just saying that what you impart to your children that you teach, it's very evident whether you are doing what you have to do or whether you personally have a deep faith. I pray for teachers, especially in Catholic schools, but all schools, that faith would grow. And I want to encourage you to pray for the teachers of your children and grandchildren. Pray for them. Pray for them. We're in a very difficult situation right here. Because if one person receives a privilege, then it's somehow against somebody else. And if it's against somebody else, then that's unfair. And we stagnate. we get ourselves into a spot where we can't move. And it's because we're working from internal premises or principles that are selfish rather than what is good for the whole. What is good for this people? What is good for these children? We really need, brothers and sisters, we really need to pray for our whole educational system, Protestant, Catholic, secular. We need to pray that once again truth may be restored in our educational system. I taught for many years, and I fortunately taught at a good time, but I see what it's like now. Everybody's rights trample on other people's rights. And we're getting ourselves into such a quandary that our children are not receiving the truth. St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, pray for us. The first reading today is from the first letter of John, chapter 3, verses 7 to 10. Children, let no one deceive you. The person who acts in righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Whoever sins belongs to the devil, because the devil is sin from the beginning. Indeed, the Son of God was revealed to destroy the works of the devil. No one who is begotten by God commits sin, because God's seed remains in him. He cannot sin because he is begotten by God. In this way, the children of God and the children of the devil are made plain. No one who fails to act in righteousness belongs to God, nor anyone who does not love his brother. Now, all of us are sinful. All of us fall short of the glory of God. But if we repent genuinely, it's gone. Genuine repentance. Take it to the sacrament of reconciliation. Whatever it is, get rid of it as soon as you can. We all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. And God has made a way for us in our weakness to be forgiven. You don't want to live in sin. You get mired in more sin and more sin. Ask forgiveness as quickly as you can. Psalm 98, all the ends of the earth have seen the saving power of God. And how much more that would be true if each of us opened our hearts and minds and spirits to see what God wants to do with us and how God wants to use us. And all that stands in between us and God's using us is our unwillingness to ask for forgiveness for our sin. Many times that's the case. So, brothers and sisters, I really want to urge you, you want to be a child of God. You really do. I don't care what your age is. You want to be a child of God. You want to belong to God. Actively seek that. This culture, it works at eating away at and draining us of faith. So you have to be active. You have to say, Lord, I want to grow in my faith today. Lord, help me to love you today. Help me to serve you today. Ask him for grace. Ask him for power every day, many times a day. Ask him. And gradually your life will begin to move in a different direction. It really will. If you're faithful to asking God for forgiveness, just ask him for forgiveness. Don't be afraid to ask him for forgiveness. He only wants to love you. He only wants to see you set free. He only wants you to know joy and happiness and to be with him forever. We take a look at the gospel for today, chapter 1 of John, verses 35 to 42. John was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Can you imagine? "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard what he said and followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following him and said to them, "What are you looking for?" And they said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? In other words, we're curious. We want to draw near. Where are you staying? And he said to them, come, come, and you will see. Come. Do you know that God does that to you? When you say to him, Lord, we want to follow you, where are you staying? Where are you staying? And God will draw you near to himself. He really will. If you persevere in asking him every day, Lord, show me, teach me, forgive me, help me. You do that every day and he will draw you to himself. He will say, come and see where I live. Come and see more deeply and more clearly the life that I want to have with you. He said to them, come and you will see. Where are you staying? Come and you will see. So they went and they saw where he was staying. And they stayed with him that day. It was about 4 p.m. Do you know when I read this, every time I come to that verse, it's almost like a chill goes down my spine. It was about 4 p.m. because all the writers I've known in my life and my own writing, you really do remember where you were and what the situation was when something very important happened to you. People often say that the sun was this and the time was this and this is what had happened right before and this is what happened right after. When we have something momentous in our life, those things we remember. It's amazing. But you'll hear it often when people tell their story of how God reached them or just circumstances in their life. So here they are. And Jesus says to them, come and you will see. So they went and they saw where he was staying. And they stayed with him that day. It was about 4 p.m. So the time of day was given. Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, was one of the two who heard John and followed Jesus. He first found his own brother Simon and told him, we have found the Messiah. So notice, Andrew goes to the brother of Simon Peter, was one of the two who heard John and followed Jesus. But as he was doing that, he first found his own brother, Simon Peter, and he told him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated Christ. Then he brought him to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him, and he said, you are Simon, the son of John. You will be called Cephas, which is translated Peter. On that day, at 4:00 p.m, Peter received the call from God. And he did it because his brother brought him to Jesus. Do you see all the interplay there? Family plays a big part. Being able to listen for the Lord and hear the Lord plays a big part. Having good friends plays a big part. Jesus uses all of that to reveal himself to you and to me. And I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to please open your heart to receive all that God has for you. Brothers and sisters, I would like to encourage you to read again my booklet on faith more precious than gold. I've been talking a lot about faith and will continue to do so. And that booklet could be very helpful to you or to others you'd like to give it. Simply call our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789, or go online to renewalministries.net and click on bookstore.